Welcome to a message from New Life Christian Church and World Outreach.
Everybody stand to your feet. Come on, get your blood circulating again. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands toward me as we go before the Father in prayer. Father, I just praise you and I thank you as we go into the Word of God this morning that you anoint my lips to speak your truth in love. Father, you have a word for us in due season. And I thank you, Father, as I yield myself to you completely, that you have your way in this place today. You have your way in this service through my lips. Speak your words, Father. And Lord, manifest yourself in the midst of your people. Show yourself mighty, God. Show yourself strong, Lord, that we will never be the same because we've been in your presence. We thank you for that, Father. It's not just church as usual. It's not the tradition of men, but it is the power of God in demonstration today. Lord, we come to seek your face and to hear from heaven, and we thank you. We will not leave disappointed. And everybody in the room agreed and said, amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Well, last week we started a message about the Holy Spirit, and so some of you weren't here, and I kind of want to bring you up to speed on what we're preparing for. We've been preparing for May 19th, and May 19th is the anniversary of the day of Pentecost. It's Pentecost Sunday. So May 19th, we're looking forward to May 19th because literally around the world for some time now, there's been a movement called Empower 21. You can go online and check it out. Check out Empower 21. Check out Billy Wilson. Check out Jack Hayford, Awaken America. It's going literally around the world, and they've already had large gatherings in other countries like Jakarta in Indonesia. And Jakarta, Indonesia, being in the heart of the Orient, they had thousands and thousands of believers coming from regions of the Orient that have suffered persecution for the sake of the gospel. I mean, if you stand up for Jesus Christ in these countries, you are persecuted. Even lives are lost that stand up for the name of Jesus Christ. And you know, the church in Asia is just rising up in such authority and power. It's absolutely amazing what God is doing there. And what we've come to realize, and in this country especially, we've had Barna reports, which are church statisticians, and they basically have said if a child doesn't come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, especially in this country by, what is it, age 12, then they will more than likely go on to live their entire lives godless and without any knowledge of God and any personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And we need to do something, church. Something is wrong with that picture, especially since we're a Christian nation and we are called one nation under God. So seeing that the passing our faith on to the next generation has really waned, especially across the United States, but in other parts of the world, well, cultures may know about a saving Jesus, but they don't know about the Spirit-empowered life that God sent the Holy Spirit to give each and every believer. So they've been praying, they've been meeting, they've been having large gatherings where they're teaching and training because, you know, the word says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And we're going to see from scripture today that a lot of people don't even understand the difference between being born of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. Matter of fact, last week I used this little example that we're like this glass right here. We're a vessel. And when we completely surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, he comes in our vessel, and he dwells in us. And it's all of him. It's the three parts of the Godhead. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we do receive the Holy Spirit in the new birth. Every part of what God is comes in us. The Word of God says that we are transformed, that old things are passed away, and all things have become new, and all things are of God. And so we're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. And just like this little vessel. He comes in and he dwells in us. But there's a second experience after the experience of salvation. There's a second baptism. And you know, there was a day, if I heard that said in church, it would cause the back of the hairs on the back of my neck to go up. But we're going to look at what the Bible says. Amen. It's important what the Bible says, isn't it? Amen. Are you awake this morning? Yeah. It's important what the Bible says, isn't it? Amen. Amen. So open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1 and look at verse 5. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "For John baptized with water." This is Jesus talking. "But not many days from now, you shall be baptized." Say baptized. Okay, the first baptism is with water. John baptizes with water. And that's a baptism unto salvation. That's a baptism that identifies with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That we are identifying with Christ and what he did to redeem our lives and put us in right relationship with the Heavenly Father through salvation. We are buried with him in baptism. We are risen with him in the newness of life. Amen? But it says, "You shall be baptized." That's a second baptism. "And placed in and introduced into the Holy Spirit." Yes, we have the Holy Spirit in salvation. But when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, amen, then we are immersed in him. We still have the same Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in our vessel, but when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we are immersed, we're filled to overflowing. How many of you like to be filled to overflowing? Amen. I love that little illustration. I think it helps so much. And so Jesus goes on to say, "You shall be baptized and placed and introduced, placed into the Holy Spirit." Verse 8 is our key scripture for this study. And it says, "But you shall receive power." Say power. "You shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth." See, to be a witness, we have to live lives that exemplify the life and the nature of Jesus Christ. And so often we struggle. I remember, you know, like I shared last week, you know, I got saved when I was 13. I walked down the aisle. I was sincere, but it didn't last. All I knew was the Roman road, Romans 10, 9, and 10. And John 3:16, and I recognized that I needed to be born again, but that was all I knew about Jesus, is that I needed to be born again. But how about you this morning? Do you want more than fire insurance? Yeah. Do you want to know more than just when you die, you're going to go to heaven? That when you live, you're going to live with the power of heaven here on earth? Yeah. Well, he gave us that power. And the very last words Jesus spoke before he went to be at the right hand of the Father and he left this planet to go to earth, or to go to heaven from earth, his very last words were a command to the believers to go to a place called the upper room and await for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at who was in the upper room that day in Acts chapter 1, verse 13. Amen. I'm excited. I am excited. I love this because, you know, we talk about gifts we're going to give for Mother's Day, and we think about what we're going to do, and we've had a variety of things. We've had DeBrand's chocolates. We've had flowers. We've had all kinds of things that we've passed out for the mothers. Well, you know what? Before Jesus left planet Earth and went to heaven, he wanted his mother to have a gift. And so Jesus's mother herself was one of those of the 120 that were gathered in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Okay, let's read it. Verse 13 says, "And when they had entered the city, they mounted the stairs to the upper room where they were indefinitely staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the zealot and Judas the son of James, all these with their minds in full agreement." It's important. God does things powerfully when we're in agreement. And right now, I'm so excited. I can hardly wait for the 19th because there is a group of believers across the globe, in Asia, in Brazil, in all over South America, in every continent, that are praying and believing God for a fresh outpouring of His Spirit. They have aligned themselves and they agree with the prophet Joel that in the last days, it's God's desire to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Say all flesh. And when you're in agreement, just like they were in agreement on this day, in verse 14, in one place, in one accord, and devoted themselves steadfastly to prayer. Church, we need to be a praying church. We need to be saying to God the things that He has promised us. And we need to be thanking Him for how He's going to move in our lives and in the church in these last days. Amen. And with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers, they were all assembled there. And Mary, the mother of Jesus. So if you're from a Catholic background, guess what? Mary spoke in tongues. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, isn't that awesome? Let's go to chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled together in one place. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed and settled on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Now, tongues is the benefit, and it's one of the attributes that we receive when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God never intended for it to be something spooky, weird, you know. But, you know, people equate, you know, it being spooky and weird. Listen, it's miraculous. It's miraculous. It's a sign and a wonder. And I hear the church talking that they're hungry for signs and wonders, but they're keeping an arm's length of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, when that is one of the greatest and foremost signs and wonders that birthed the church in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, of anything in the Bible. Don't you think your salvation is a sign and a wonder? If you can believe that God Himself, through Jesus Christ and His sacrifice and His shed blood, redeemed your life from destruction and released you from the penalty of sin and death because of the work of the cross and His redeeming blood, that here was a God-man who lived a perfect life, who was born of a virgin and died in your place and paid the penalty for the sin in your life so that you could live in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can believe that, and you can't believe that there's a heavenly language that goes with that supernatural gift from God through salvation? That it stops with just the Holy Spirit dwelling in you? No, He not only wants to dwell in you, He wants to baptize you and immerse you in His Spirit. Amen. And so we talked about the arguments that are raised against this precious gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus commanded His disciples, there are two baptisms. It is for everyone. Amen. All that were in the upper room. That's a big word, all. And it says they were all filled. And I've heard the argument, well, maybe it's just for some. I've had people say, well, some people need that. But I don't, you know, kind of in a pious way. I'm spiritual enough, I don't need the gift of tongues. Well, if the mother of Jesus needed it and all of the 120 received it and were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues, that sets a precedent. They all received, not two of them didn't. They all received, every one of them. Jesus, it says of Jesus that He was anointed of the Holy Spirit and He went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. If Jesus needed it, don't you think we need it? Amen. Besides the fact that He commanded it, I just love it. You know, in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, let's turn there. We're going to run through our Bibles today. Ephesians chapter 6. No, chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children. Imitate their father. Walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us and was a slain offering and a sacrifice to God for you so that it became a sweet fragrance." How are we going to be imitators of God? He's setting us up. He's telling us, be imitators. Follow his example. Love like he loved. Well, I can tell you something. In my own natural ability, I can't do it. But again, it goes back to the Holy Spirit. And the word tells us that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. And so I can agree with God and I can allow the presence of the Spirit of God within me to love others through me. Amen? It makes you a loving person. It makes you love people that are unlovely. You can't help it because God is love. And when his nature saturates you, you respond just like God responds. Look at verse 15. "Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil." Don't you agree? The days are evil. "Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be ever filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit." This is how you do it. Be ever filled with the Holy Spirit. We need this gift. It was important. That's why he commanded his followers to go and wait for that day, the day of Pentecost, when his Spirit was poured out on all of those in the upper room. Be ever filled with the Holy Spirit. The Amplified Version says ever filled. That word actually means a continual filling. Some of us have received the Holy Spirit and his gift and our spiritual language, but we haven't done anything with it. After we received it, we walked away and kept our mouths shut. But when God takes control, when you give him free rein and you yield to him completely, then you have to continue to be filled with his Spirit and exercising the gift that he's put on the inside of you. Amen? Be ever filled with the Holy Spirit. It's so good, so good. And verse 18, let's look at verse 18. Oh, that is verse 18. Okay, I'm good. Already read it. Our lives need to be more about others than it is about ourselves. And honestly, to be able to do that, you need to be fully yielded to God, fully yielded to the Holy Spirit. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "For his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness." That divine power is what we were reading about in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. That divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. He empowers us. He doesn't overpower us. I know some people have said, "Ooh, what's going to happen when you lay your hands on me? Is God going to take my mouth and make me speak in tongues or shake me or do something weird?" No, no. The Holy Spirit isn't a weirdo. He's a gentleman. And he's not going to overpower you. He's going to empower you. You still have to engage your will and your faith to believe and to receive, just like your salvation. Amen? He leads us to action. He doesn't cause us to act wild and compulsively. He brings us under the lordship of Jesus Christ. He doesn't lord over us. He brings us into unity, not uniformity. He has created each and every one of us so uniquely, with unique characteristics and unique qualities that are distinctly yours and yours alone. And he desires to minister in and through you in a very unique way by the power of his Holy Spirit. When I was watching some of the video online about what God is doing in Asia, and I saw this little Asian preacher standing there testifying, and he was just like straight-faced, you know, like bluegrass players. They never change their expression. And here's this little Asian pastor, and he's saying, yes, I believe in the Holy Ghost. We have seen signs and wonders and miracles, and there was a woman who was dead for 3 days. We prayed in the Holy Spirit and commanded death to leave her, and she was raised back to life again, and the whole village got saved. I mean, I'd be like jumping all over the place. I don't know if that's because, you know, I might be a little ADD or something, but I couldn't say that calm. I couldn't say that with a straight face. Somebody got raised from the dead. Hallelujah. And you know what? The people that are meeting, I mean, they're not wackos. God is doing this stuff. God is doing this stuff. As the word is going forth, signs, wonders, and miracles. And I mean wonders, wonders. That's when things happen you cannot explain. Fingers growing out. Listen, I was reading testimonies about the Azusa Street Revival when the Holy Spirit was poured out over 100 years ago in California. And it's amazing the things that happen. And you know what I found the most fascinating? Is that most of the testimonies said that these signs, wonders, and miracles that happen through the hands of these anointed, spirit-empowered believers were in their youth. They were couples who were 17 and 18 years old, 19 and 20 years old. And I think, God, do it again. And he said, I am. I said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy, and your young men, they're going to dream dreams, and your old men are going to have visions, or the other way around. And he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh, on all flesh. I'm no theologian. I study the Bible, but not like my husband. He's read every book in his library, and I think he's earned probably more than one doctorate degree through all the knowledge and understanding he has of the Word of God. But when something kind of gets in my craw, and I have a difficult time, you know, settling it within myself beyond maybe just one or two verses of scripture, I want God to prove things to me. And I got to tell you that in the last decade, I've been grieved at what I've seen happen in the charismatic body of Christ across the world, but especially in our country. People who were raised up with us. See, there was an outpouring at Azusa Street, and then in the late 70s and the early 80s, there was another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we are again at the precipice of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this country. Right. And I don't know about you, I don't want to be on the sidelines watching it happen and go by. I want to be right smack dab in the middle of it. I want to be leading the charge. I want to be laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. I want to be the one that the Holy Spirit knows that if he desires to move, he can move through me. But I've seen something that's just grieved me. And that's those who experience the Holy Spirit in that charismatic renewal of the 70s and 80s have now decided that they've had success in ministry, that they don't want to ruffle any feathers. They want to be seeker friendly, that there are people out there in the world that don't understand what we do about the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And so it's better not to do anything too dramatic or too public because we might spook them and scare them off. And so they've relegated the Holy Ghost to the back room. And they rarely even mention his name in a service. And you rarely see any demonstration of his power. And I think that's got to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Because when he came like a rushing mighty wind, a fire from heaven. And when those who were in the upper room on that day received the infilling of the Holy Spirit and were baptized in the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues, they poured out into the streets. And when they poured out boldly into the streets in that power to be a witness to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, 2,000 people got born again that day. 2,000 were added to the church that day. You go on through the scriptures and you see that another day, 5,000 were added to the church. They weren't using the seeker-friendly model we have today. The one they were seeking was the Holy Spirit. The one they were yielded to was the Holy Spirit. And he moved in a dramatic way. Read the book of Acts. Over and over again, it's recorded the miracles that were done at the hands of the believers. And they didn't have seminary degrees. And they hadn't been saved for very long. Some of them were just fresh out of the womb of the Spirit, born of God and filled with the Spirit of God. But as they operated in that simple faith, in a life yielded to the Holy Spirit, God moved dramatically among the people. He came to liberate his people. He came to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to set the captive free. And you know what? Jesus Christ is the same Jesus today that he was yesterday and will be tomorrow. And he desires to do it through your life. He desires to do it in us and through us. But then you hear the arguments. Well, what about Paul? What about Paul? 1 Corinthians 14, 19. Turn there, because you need to know in your Bible how to answer these questions. 1 Corinthians. I know where it is. Okay, there it is. Men of God have taken one verse of scripture and they have thwarted the purposes of God through the power of his Holy Spirit based on this one verse. Nevertheless, in public worship, I would rather say five words with my understanding and intelligently in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a strange tongue or language. And they go, see? You don't do it in church. You don't do it in a public assembly. Well, where do you think they were on the day of Pentecost? It was a public assembly. There was no interpretation because it wasn't the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues or prophecy, which is equivalent to the tongue and the interpretation of tongues. See, there's a variety of gifts that come with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism is just the tip of the iceberg. Once you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can receive the gifts that come with that baptism. They're prophecy. They're word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. They're tongues and interpretation of tongues. Different from the tongues that you get, that spiritual language where Jude says in Jude 20 that when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost because it's spirit being to spirit being and you're communing with God in a way that Satan cannot interrupt, understand, or thwart. You're praying the perfect will of God. What a gift. What a gift. But now go up to verse 17. To be sure, you may give thanks well and nobly, but the bystander is not edified. It does him no good. But I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you put together. The same passages of scripture, the same apostle who has been used, I think he just, you know, go, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You mean you're taking that one statement I made about the fact that it's necessary to teach the body of Christ or the believers or the those assembled in the congregation with understanding? You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Paul understood that, and he understood the importance of laying a foundation of knowledge and truth so that they could have faith to respond to what God had provided, that they would have faith to respond to the gifts, so that in their ignorance they wouldn't stand up and misuse the gifts and give prophecy without interpretation. But they were assembled together, and he had bragging rights. He said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. The same apostle. Now let's look at other places where they were gathered and they spoke in the heavenly language of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:1. This is so good. This is so good. Are you enjoying this? Chapter 12, verse 1. Now about the spiritual gifts, the special endowment of the supernatural energy, brethren. I don't want you to be misinformed. King James says, I would that you would not be ignorant. Now jump down to verse 3. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking under the power or the influence of the Holy Spirit can ever call Jesus accursed. And no one can really say Jesus is my Lord except by and under the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 4, it's important to turn on your ears. Now, there are distinctive varieties. Say varieties. Varieties. There are distinctive varieties and disbursements of endowments, gifts, extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. There's varieties of gifts by the Holy Spirit. And they vary, but the Holy Spirit is still the same. It's the same Holy Spirit. The gifts vary, but the Holy Spirit is the same. Verse 28. So God has appointed some in the church. Here's part of the gifts that he's given. Besides, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Well, actually, that's verse 10. Let's read it. Let's start at verse 9. No, let's start at verse 8. No, let's start at 7. Okay, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and for profit. Oh, that's evil. That's the devil. What? Have you read your Bible? Have you read your Bible for good and for profit? To one is given in and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak a message of wisdom. To another, the power to express a word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Holy Spirit. To another, the wonder-working faith by the same Holy Spirit. To another, extraordinary powers of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophetic insight, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose. To another, the ability to discern and distinguish between the utterances of true spirits and false ones, to another various kinds of unknown tongues, and to another the ability to interpret such tongues. All these gifts, achievements, abilities, are inspired and brought to pass by the one same Holy Spirit, who apportions to each person individually exactly as he chooses. Verse 28, for God has appointed some to the church for his own use. First apostles, special messengers, second prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, third teachers, then wonder workers, then those with the ability to heal the sick, helpers. Being a helper is an anointed gift of God. Administrators, speaking in unknown tongues. Now turn to Acts chapter 2 again. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. Drop down to verse 4, and they were all filled. All. They were all filled. Say, all filled. They were all filled and began to speak in other tongues. Go to Acts chapter 8, verse 14. There was no interpreter because it was not the diversity and the variety of the gift of prophecy and tongues and interpretation of tongues. Verse 14. Now when the apostles and the special messengers at Jerusalem heard that the country of Samaria had accepted and welcomed the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And they came down and prayed for them that the Samaritans might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There again shows the distinction between the baptism unto salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If they got it all in salvation, then why would they have been sent there to preach to them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Amen. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them, but they had been only baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then the apostles laid their hot little hands on them, and one by one, they received the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Simon the sorcerer, he wanted to pay to have this gift. Well, how could he even recognize that they had received something? Because of the evidence of speaking in tongues that's referred to later on in the book of Acts. Now let's look at Acts 19, verse 17. I want you to know that you know that you know, Acts 9, 17. That you know that you know that it is a gift for you to receive that endowment from power from on high. Verse 17, chapter 9. So Ananias left and went into the house, and when he laid his hands on Saul, who became Paul, Saul, who had the road to Damascus experience with Jesus Christ. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you along the way by which you came here, has sent me that you might recover your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Saul being filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Let's look at verse 38, which talks about Jesus being anointed of the Holy Spirit. How God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power, and how he went about doing good and in particular curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. I'm telling you, when you are born of the Spirit and then baptized in the Spirit of God, you are aware of the power and the presence of God in your life. And listen, when you know you're walking around wall to wall Holy Ghost, it keeps you from sin. Right. It helps you to bring your attitude in check quicker. Right. When you start to feel weak and succumbing to temptation, you can pray in tongues. And the word says you're building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It's like having a battery that's weak and taking the battery cables and laying them on there and charging that battery again and putting the power back into it. That's what happens when you lift your hands to heaven and you start praying in the Holy Spirit. You get charged again. It gets stirred up in you again. Verse 44, Acts 10, 40, where am I? Yes, Acts 10, 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all who were listening to the message, and the believers from among the circumcised, the Jews, who came with Peter were surprised and amazed because the free gift of the Holy Spirit had been bestowed and poured out largely even on the Gentiles. That was a big deal because up to that time, it was the Jews, it was God's chosen people, but now it went outside of God's chosen to the Gentiles. Gentiles, which qualifies us to receive because we are part of that lineage. And it says, and the believers from the circumcised, they were amazed because the power of the Holy Spirit had been bestowed and poured out on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and magnifying God. And no interpretation. publicly, together, in public assembly, speaking in the Spirit, magnifying God. Amen? Amen. Don't buy that lie. Don't buy that lie. Acts chapter 19, turn there. Starting at verse 1. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul went through the upper inland district and came to Ephesus. And there he found some disciples, and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed on Jesus Christ?" And like so many believers, especially in this Western culture, they responded like probably many people you know would respond. And they said, "No, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And so he asked them, "Into what baptism then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." They were born again. They were children of God. They were saved. And then Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, continually telling people that they should believe on the one who was to come after him. And it is in Jesus, having a conviction full of joyful trust that he is Christ the Messiah, and being obedient to him. On hearing this, they were baptized again, and again this time in the name of the Lord Jesus." And then verse 6, Paul laid his hot little hands on them again, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in unknown tongues and prophesied. They not only got filled with the Spirit, they got the gift of prophecy. They spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Amen? Amen. Paul said in chapter 1 of Corinthians, verse 14, chapter 1, 14 through 39, he said, "Forbid not speaking in tongues." The same guy they blame for not speaking in tongues in the church today. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14:15. Say, in conclusion. Verse 15. "Then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will pray also intelligently with my mind and understanding. I will sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will sing intelligently with my mind and understanding also." You see, there is both. We can magnify God in our intelligence with our understanding, but sometimes it just goes so far. It doesn't express fully your heart and your gratitude toward a saving God, toward a God who has come to heal, deliver, and set us free. And it takes more. Your words just seem to fall short of really expressing your heart to the Father. And so the Apostle Paul says, "I'll pray in my understanding. And then when my understanding fails me and it comes short, then I'll pray in the Holy Ghost. I'll pray in my heavenly language. I'll sing in my understanding." And it's so good to be corporately worshiping God together or privately, and then shift over when your heart is so full to just magnifying God and extolling his goodness by the power of the Holy Spirit within you, singing in the Spirit. Yes, he did that. And it doesn't say, "and somebody interpreted." We've got to be moved to action, church. We've got to be moved to receive. Reba, would you come on up? Acts 1:8, it's an endowment of power from on high. The Comforter, when it seems that all hope is gone, you have the Comforter. The Counselor, for all of life's decisions, you can turn to him. You can turn within and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit inside you. The Helper, in times of trial and temptation, he's there for you. The Intercessor, the one who comes alongside and prays with you, praying out the perfect will of God. The Advocate, when you're up against a wall, he is your defender. He is your advocate, the Holy Spirit. How many of you this morning want everything that God wants for you? Amen. How many of you are ready to receive all that God paid to give you? Amen. He gave us the Holy Spirit. You know, tongues is just the spiritual language that God gives you. He gives your mind. You don't understand it because it comes out of your spirit. It comes from God. It enables you to pray the perfect prayers that you need when you don't know how to pray. And it helps you to stir yourself up in faith. Every morning you get up, you can stir yourself up in faith. Some of them, us don't have somebody to be our cheerleader in the morning and say, good morning, you can make it today. This is going to be a good day. But if you've got the Holy Spirit, you can pray in the Holy Spirit and He'll stir you up. He'll encourage you. You know, we don't want to just emphasize the tongues. We want to emphasize the Holy Spirit because He's the gift. He's the gift. It's like an example I heard where you go buy a pair of shoes and you come home and you don't say, hey, honey, look at my new tongues in my shoes. You know, you get new shoes. The tongues just come with it. We want to put the emphasis where it belongs, on the Holy Spirit. And we can't do it for ourselves. It's something that He does. It's a gift. It is a gift. Glenda, it's a gift. This is a Mother's Day gift for you.
Thank you so much.
Now, did you have to do anything to earn that gift? It's given. So what do? We just what? We receive. By faith, we receive what His grace has supplied. Everybody stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He wants to fill you up today. He wants to immerse you. He doesn't want you to just know Him being born of the Spirit. With all the Godhead dwelling in you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, but He wants to immerse you. He wants you to have all and more of Him. He wants to fill your mind. He wants to fill your mouth, but you have to open it. You can't speak with a closed mouth. Just like when you opened your mouth and by faith you confess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you respond the same way by faith to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. He wants to fill your attitude with His Spirit. He wants to fill your money with His Spirit, your friendships, your relationships. He wants to control every part of your life. What are you holding back for? The word says if a man tries to save his life, he just loses it. But if a man will lose his life, he'll find it. If he'll give up all of who he is for all of what God is, he'll receive that. You don't want just fire insurance this morning. You don't want to just know that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. Let's live heaven on earth. With the power of heaven by His Holy Spirit in our lives. To go beyond knowing that we serve a powerful God to knowing that that power can be lived in and through your life by the Holy Spirit. Just like Acts 1:8 said, if you haven't yet received the baptism, the second baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and you desire to completely yield your life to Jesus Christ this morning, raise both hands in the air right now. Both hands in the air right now. Now, those of us that have received and believed on the Holy Spirit, I want you to lay hands on these that are standing with their hands lifted. And all of us, let's pray this together, because those of us that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, how many of you want a fresh outpouring? How many of you want a fresh fire from heaven today? How many of you want to stir it up again on the inside of you and be ever filled with the Holy Spirit? Say, God, we want all of you. Come on, church. God, we want all of you. We want all that you have for us. Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. I surrender all of me. I don't want to hold anything back. Use me. Do what you want with my life. Fill me with your Spirit. Give me a supernatural language that I can pray to you in. and glorify and magnify you with my life. I'm going to pray right now for everyone that had their hands raised and those of you that want a fresh outpouring. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command, be filled with the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Be filled with the Holy Spirit from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. I bind fear in the name of Jesus. I bind any hindering force right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit flowing right now in this room. I ask for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit, for a fresh baptism of fire in the lives of believers who have already received the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Stir it up again, Holy Spirit. Stir them up again, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, let your fire fall in this place right now. Thank you for filling these with your Spirit. With that heavenly language. Now open your mouths and don't speak in your known language. Remember, Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray in my understanding. We leave our understanding. Our understanding is unfruitful. And we allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us those heavenly words that come from our spirit man. Sometimes it sounds just like little noises. Come on, church. Those of you that have the Holy Ghost, stir it up. Stir it up. Pray in the Spirit. Be filled. Be filled right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for changing us, filling us, rearrange us. Thank you for a fresh baptism. Now, some of you that have just received, promise me that you're going to study it out. Everywhere you can in your Bible, you look up the verses, you read the book of Acts, because it helps to gain knowledge and understanding. You see, faith comes by hearing, and having faith toward this gift from heaven, this second baptism, comes through the knowledge and understanding of God's truth. And the truth will make you free. Free to worship him. Free to open your mouth and let that heavenly language pour forth and magnify and glorify God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you. Not only have we received from your Spirit today the life and the baptism in that heavenly language, but healing, Lord. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I pray for healing right now, Father, in bodies that have been afflicted. I rebuke sickness. I rebuke disease. I rebuke the spirit of infirmity. And I say, bodies, you come in line with the word of God in the name of Jesus. Be healed right now. Be whole in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that salvation includes everything that you purchased for us, spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Mamas, don't forget to come get your gift before you leave. God bless you. We love you. You're dismissed.